and his glory is eternal. And you and I are brought together in him. We are blended into him, and he is blended within us. We are one with God when we receive Christ as our Savior, when Christ comes into our life. And that is what enables us to have eternal life. It's the essence of God that dwells within us, that is unified within us. And because of that experience in God, we are able to endure forever. His strength is imparted to us. His identity is imparted to us. And all that he is, God is imparting to us. And he's offering it to us. He is giving it to us. And this is why when you're born of God, when you're born of the Spirit of God, new life happens. New life occurs. It's because we are now open so that we can live and experience life with a divine element within us. And so we're no longer living our lives based on our feelings and based on the things that we see and perceive, but we're living our lives based on the revelation of God that occurs within us as God reveals more and more of himself to us. The more we learn of God, the more we learn of ourselves and who we are. And this is important to understand because God created us in his image. So therefore, we learn of God in order to learn about ourselves. And the more we know about him, the more we know about ourselves. And so we are to live a life that is reflective of God. But this is not just something that we do just because we want to do it. It is actually something that is built within us because God is in us. And when you accept Christ, Christ comes into us and his will becomes our will. And we begin to desire the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, they say you don't crave anything that you have not tasted. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You don't crave anything that you have not tasted. And that is why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because once you genuinely taste of God, you realize how good he is. And all of a sudden, you want more of God. You become addicted. You want more and more, and you can never get enough. Isn't that right? You can never get enough. And that is because when you taste of God, the element of God within us causes us to desire more of him. And God wants us to become more of him. He desires for us to experience him and to be like him, because that is why Jesus came. And so I'm going to begin here as we begin this new theme for this year, as we this year, for this month and this quarter. We are talking about the image of glory, the glory of God. And as we are looking at God and his glory, we get a better understanding of ourselves and a better understanding of how to live in this life as the people of God. And so I am going to begin here with Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, a very popular verse, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it. When Moses was up on the mountain, when he was meeting with God after he had brought the people out of Egypt into the wilderness, He's up there in the mountain and he says to God, show me your glory. And it's not just show me your glory, but he says, I beg of you, Lord, I pray you, show me your glory. This is a genuine cry of the heart of God. And Moses is crying out with a heart of God for God to reveal himself to him so that he can better understand who he is and what his life is truly to be all about. And this is what God wants us to experience. He desires for us to see his glory, to be able to experience the glory of God, not just every once in a while, but every day. It ought to be a part of our everyday lives. We ought to experience the glory of God. It's not just something that we see or experience one time here and there, but it is something that we walk in day by day. Everything we do, all that we experience in life, ought to be in the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so I would like to use as a theme today, experience the glory. Experience the glory. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, join me as we pray. Well, Lord, we thank you, O God, for your word. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would stir us up today, that we would be able to experience your glory. Our desire is to be a reflection or an image of your glory, to be able to be the people that you've called us to be. We live in a sin-sick world, a lost and dying world, a world that is filled with oppression and bondage, deception on every front. All types of evil is at work in the midst of us. But God, you enable us to prevail beyond the times. You enable us to overcome the obstacles and the challenges as we pursue you, as we abide in you, as we seek your face. Help us, O God, to be the people that you've called us to be. Open our ears and our eyes that we may hear and that we may see, that we may even speak as of the oracles of God, declaring your word, that the power of your spirit may work through us to impact the lives of the people you bring our way. We thank you, Lord God, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, the one thing that Christians have in common, I'm talking about of the redeemed believer, the born-again believer, is we have a desire to see souls saved. We have a desire to see other people come to Christ. There is something working within us that wants to seize the opportunity to speak the word of God, to testify of the things of God, to help people to see what Christ has done and what he can do for them. This is what is stirring within us. There is this anticipation that is at work for us to represent the kingdom of God and to help those who cannot see him or who do not know him to have an experience in God. Hallelujah. To have an experience in God. And that is what the glory of God is all about. The glory of God is the aspect of God that enables us to experience God. And so God wants us to experience his glory. Experience the glory of God. And so as we begin here, we see in Exodus 33, Moses is here talking to God and he's asking God to show him his glory. He says, show me your glory. And he then says, I myself will, well, God says, I will, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. Hallelujah. When your heart is right before God, when you have a relationship with God, remember, this is not the first time Moses is talking to God. This is not the first time he's having the encounter. Moses has already proven himself to be faithful. Moses first encountered God at the burning bush. That is God revealing himself. Then God spoke to Moses and gave him directions, which Moses obeyed. He followed the directions God gave him, and he went into Egypt. He did all that he did with against amazing odds. In fact, pretty much everything God did through Moses, the magicians also did, the magicians of Pharaoh. They were able to imitate the things that God did. And that is a lesson for another day, really, but the essence of it is that whatever God does, Satan is a great imitator. He can imitate almost everything that God does. And that is why we cannot be deceived by outward appearances. This is why God says he looks at the motives or the intent of the heart, the condition of the heart. Is the heart right with God? This is where the source of eternal life begins. It begins with the heart of God. When you are born again, when you are saved, as we would say, once we are born from above, we receive something from God. It's not just that we believe, but it's that we believe and therefore receive. Hallelujah. And it's when you receive that new life begins. That is when God begins to mold us and shape us and transform us. And our will becomes his will, and his will becomes our will. And we get lost in God himself. And all of our desires are consumed in God. And so that whatever God wants is what we want to do. Even when we don't feel like it, our flesh is desiring to do something completely different. The soul that is working within us to conform into the image of Christ is compelling us to do the will of God. This is a working of the Spirit of God. It's not a working of the intellect. It's a working of the Spirit within us, the Spirit of God. And it causes us to remember the word of the Lord. The Spirit of God then brings back to our memory, to our remembrance, what God says, and that gives us strength. It gives us the ability to obey and apply the word of God so that the will of God is accomplished in our life. And Moses was experiencing this, and he was obeying God as he lived his life. He was doing what God had called him to do. And so he says, I will make my goodness pass before you. This is the prerequisite if you want God's goodness to pass before you. Before you can even ask God, show me your glory, we have to first have come into a relationship with God and are walking in obedience. That is what opens the door to God revealing things to us, the revelations of God. Many times people think as that they can, just because they believe, they can ask God for things or they can have all of these things, but that we need to have happen in our lives, but that is not how it works. God responds to us out of the relationship that we have with him, not just because we believe certain facts about God and Christ, but it's because we have a relationship with God. You and I can have certain realities and understandings in our life, but that doesn't mean we have a relationship. We all are familiar with George Washington. If he showed up, we would be able to tell him about his life or many other historical figures that have lived their lives. And we are able to tell even great details about them. But that doesn't mean when we would encounter them, they would know us or know anything about us. And it certainly doesn't mean that they would be able to grant us any wishes or desires that we may have of them. And they will say, "Who are you? Who are you? I don't even know you." And this is how relationships work. Through relationships, you're able to get a job. Isn't that right? Through relationships, you're able to get favors from people. You can borrow things. Isn't that right? You're able to do all types of things when you have a relationship with someone who has something that will benefit you. But if you don't have a relationship with them, you can ask all day long, and you're probably not going to get what you want. It's because of a lack of relationship. A job interview is an opportunity for you to establish a relationship. Isn't that right? And when you go for the interviewer is trying to determine whether or not you would be a fit to enter into a relationship with, whether or not you are someone they want to enter into a relationship with. Do you meet the qualifications of the person that we're looking for in order to establish this relationship? And that is why it's always more than just, can you do the job? Or do you have the right background in education? It's, are you the right type of person? It's always more than just being able to have the skill set and the ability. It's about who you are as a person. And you and I are walking through life, and God is reaching out to us, and he is saying, I want to have a relationship with you. Will you respond to me? And in any relationship, we want to develop our willingness or our ability to trust. Isn't that right? We want to be able to trust that person in that situation. And God is wanting to know, can I trust you as my child? Do you meet the qualifications of being my child, being in a relationship with me? And the first thing he looks at is your heart. Has your heart been redeemed, been renewed or transformed? Do you have the heart of God? And if your heart is right, then God can work within you. Hallelujah. And that is what God is looking at. That is what Christ came to do. He came to give us a new heart. And that is why when Nicodemus approached Jesus, he asked him about all, Jesus asked Nicodemus about all of the things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven and of God. And Nicodemus, who was an expert in the law of Moses and in the things of God, didn't even understand what Jesus was saying. And Jesus said, you are an expert in the law of God and of Moses and the things of, and you're a ruler and a leader in Israel. And how is it that you don't understand what I'm saying? And saints of God, there are many people who are in church and who claim to be Christians, and they have no idea what God is saying. And there is no relationship with God. But saints of God, when you have been born of the Spirit of God, he will cause his goodness to pass before you. He will enable his name to be praised. There will be a proclamation of the name of the Lord all about you. Your life will be about the proclamation of the Lord. And God will be gracious. Hallelujah. He will be gracious to you. And he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, God is a sovereign God. Once you enter a relationship with him, you open the door of opportunity for great things to happen in your life, for everything to be transformed, things to be made completely new. And when you are surrendered and yielded to God, oh, saints of God, the goodness of the Lord is always passing by. It's always passing by. Because you're abiding in his glory, in his presence. Oh, what a wonderful life experience it is. Oh, saints of God, God goes on and he says, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Oh, don't you want to be? I just want to be by him. I just want to be by. Oh, I don't need to. I'm not greedy. Hallelujah. I don't need everything. God, just let me be by you. I want to be close to you. I just want to be with you. Oh, saints of God. He says, you shall stand. Stand there on the rock. Oh, are you standing on the rock today, saints of God? Are you standing on the rock? I pray that you are standing on the rock. And he says, if you're standing on the rock, then it will come about while my glory is passing by. Hallelujah. I will put you in the cleft. You're standing on the rock. God is going to move you onto the cleft. That's what he said. I'm going to bring you to the edge. I'm going to draw you in a little closer to the edge. You stand back here on the rock, but when my glory comes by, it's going to pull you closer. It's going to pull you in. And he says that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and then I'm going to cover you with my hand. Hallelujah. Until I have passed on by. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't this a wonderful experience? Who is going to turn away from God after an experience like this? Oh, saints of God, is the hand of God covering you as his glory goes by? Oh, saints of God, the glory of the Lord is a powerful place to abide. In the midst of his presence, we will be able to see God. This word glory is a powerful word. And it's two different words in the that is commonly used, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And it helps us to understand the picture of the wholeness or the fullness of God. And it says here, I have laid out here that the first Hebrew word is the word kabod. It's the word kabod, and it's spelled a couple of different ways, often without the W. But it's called kabod, and it means that the praise of God or the honor, God's honor, and it means his abundance and his fullness of resources. He's got everything in his glory. His glory is everything that relates to God himself. His brilliance and his splendor, how he looks, his very appearance, how he is glorious. And we see this in many places throughout the Old Testament. And we're familiar with how the glory of God would come down. There's another word that is, which was the Shekinah of God, the Shekinah glory. It's not really Shekinah glory, because Shekinah means glory. That would be like saying glory, glory, right? So it is the glory of God, the Shekinah of God that comes down. And that is the part of God when he begins to interact with us. And so this word kabod means it's the essence of God himself, of God's his very presence. And this is the most common word used in the Old Testament for God's glory. And you see it as something that you can see. It's something you can experience. It is the very thing that represents God's provision. When he provides for us, that's we're part of partaking in his glory. It's the picture of the army coming back from a victorious conquest, and they bring back the spoils of their victory. And God is coming with all of the spoils of victory. He has all the provision. He has all of that we need. He comes with honor. He operates with honor. It reminds me of the Klingons. They lived their lives, you know, Star Trek, relating to their honor. That's the most important thing in their lives, is to have honor. And you and I, we have to have honor in our lives. We have to honor the Lord. That means we respect him and we operate in a respectable way. And we're able to reflect the glory of God. And this is what Moses was able to represent when he asked God to show him his glory. He said, "Show me your kabod." God is looking to reveal himself to us as we walk with God. In Genesis 45:13, we see this portrayed here in this verse. It says, "Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt," right? This is Joseph, and he's telling his brothers, and he says, "And all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here." And that is what the glory of God does. God will make provision for you. He will raise you up and give you a position of authority so that you can represent the kingdom of God, so that you can bring life to people, so that you can bring sustenance to people and provision for people. God draws you closer to him. We also see it in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 6. He says, "On that day I swore to them to bring them out from the land of Egypt into a land that I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory or the kabod of all lands." This is what God is working out in our lives. This is the first part of what God is looking for you and I to experience. And this is why it's worth it to obey the word of the Lord, to fulfill his commandments, to apply his principles in our lives. We walk with God and we establish a relationship with him that enables the kabod of God to fill our lives. And God draws us in. He enables us to enter into communion with him. He enables us to be refreshed. He makes provision. He causes all things to work together for our good. He is already making provision. He's moving us closer and closer to him that we would experience the provision, the milk and the honey of God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is our source of provision and of life and of strength. He is always looking to bring us to a greater place and a relationship with him. The second word that is used in the New Testament, the Greek word, is the word doxa. Doxa, it's from the word dokio, which is the root word. And I'm sure you're all familiar with dokio, right? And dokio means to have deep thought that draws or enables you to come to a personal opinion or conclusion. In other words, you're able to have an experience that causes you to think deeply and draw a conclusion that cannot be removed, that cannot be taken from you. It is now so much of an experience that it is rooted in who you are. You are deeply impacted, and you have this glory. Hallelujah. That is the word that it literally means, to evoke a good opinion. It's a positive thing. When the glory of God comes into your life, you become a positive person. You become someone who is able to see the glory of God, the goodness of God, the provision of God. You see the hand of God as it is manifested in every situation. You're able to see opportunity for God to work. Hallelujah. And this is why when you're born of the Spirit of God, you no longer see darkness and evil. You don't see all the problems that people have. You see opportunity for God to work. Hallelujah. You see that God is able to do amazing and great things. His goodness is passing before you. When the goodness of the Lord was passing by, Moses wasn't thinking about those rowdy people down on the bottom of the mountain. He wasn't thinking about all of the problems that he had endured coming out of Egypt and all of the different things that he faced. And he wasn't thinking about all of his troubles and all of his past. He wasn't thinking about how his mama left him in the river and how he was left in a basket floating down and how he got thrown out of or run out of Egypt after killing his. He wasn't thinking about all of his problems. He was in the midst of God's glory. All he saw and experienced was the goodness of God passing by. Oh, saints of God, you and I, we need to learn how to abide in the glory of the Lord, in the kabod of the Lord, so that we can have a doxa experience in life. Hallelujah. And so in John 1:14, he says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory," the doxa of God, "the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, when you're operating in the glory of God, you're operating in grace and truth. You're experiencing grace and truth. You're able to see and know that God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you have a relationship with God, you can ask what you will, and it will be done. Many people are discouraged because they ask what they will and they feel it does not happen. But it's largely because the heart is not been redeemed or renewed. The will of the Lord is not being accomplished. There is no glory of God passing by. We get caught up in the problems and all the things that are going wrong, and we focus on the negative and all the issues. And even while we're praying, "God help us," we're doubting if God can even do it. And so we're in a state of confusion. We're in a state of chaos, and we're all mixed and spun around. And God says, where there is confusion, there's every evil work. How can we expect God to do anything when we're double-minded? He said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And this is where our problem is. We live a double-minded life. And when you live a double-minded life, you cannot expect that God would do anything for you, the Word of God says. And this is why we must focus. This is why we must genuinely walk with God, spend time in his presence so that his glory can pull us in, so that we can worship him, we can magnify him, we can glorify him through all of the ways that God has taught us to glorify him. And as we apply these principles in our lives, we experience the grace and the truth of God. Hallelujah. God draws us closer to himself. In John 1:18, he says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Oh, that's what Moses was experiencing. He was on the cleft of the rock, and then God drew him into his bosom. He drew him close. He put his hand over him. He brought him in. Saints of God, oh, I want to be drawn in to the presence of God. I want to experience his hand upon me, covering me, bringing me into his bosom. Oh, I pray that you are desiring this experience as well. This is why in Romans 3:23, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory, the doxa of God." Oh, my Lord, saints of God, we need to reclaim the doxa of God. We need his glory to be brought back into our lives so that we can experience the goodness of the Lord, the glory of God. It's a picture of Christ himself. Jesus is a reflection of the glory of God. Hallelujah. In Romans 2:7, he says, "To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Oh, I pray, are you seeking to do good, saints of God? Are you persevering in God? That means when opposition comes, when difficulties come, when problems come, and I'm talking about problem people, when they come into your life, maybe they're already a part of your life. You might be married to a problem person. Your kids may be problem people. Your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, everybody has problem people somewhere in their lives. And God says, if you persevere in doing good, if you're seeking for God's glory, the doxa of God, you will experience honor and immortality. Do you want eternal life? Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, that's what glory plus honor and equals immortality or eternal life. This is what God is working out in our lives. It's not something that we just do as a mental exercise in order to walk in the place of obedience, but it's bigger than that. It's something that begins within your heart. There's a desire that's within you. There's a hunger that rises up and it says, "I have a craving for the glory of God. I need the kabod of God and the doxa of God. I need the fullness of the glory of God. Oh, I need him in my life, and my desire is to experience him." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." It's not about us, saints of God. It is a power. It is a strength. It is an essence that comes from God. It is God who he imparts himself to us. It's not from ourselves. It's from him. It's a gift. He's giving it to us so that we might have a divine experience, so that we can live a life that is positive, a life that is able to see the opportunity for God to work. And saints of God, as we walk with God, as we're walking in obedience and we're faithful to him, God will show us things so that we can stand in the gap. Hallelujah. So many times we go through challenges and difficulties, and God is there saying, "I'm going to bring my glory into this situation. Ask, invite me in, and I will step in. Ask me, Lord, show me your glory." The next time you go through hardship or difficulties, you just have to say, "God, show me your glory." You cry out to God. You say, "God, I'm going to stand on the cleft of the rock so you can pass by with all your goodness and you can draw me in and put your hand over me." Oh, saints of God, this is why we have the word of God to give us an example so that we can apply these principles in our life. I don't know about you, but God has given me something. Do you have something? Is there something within you? Is it stirring? Is there a surpassing greatness of the power? Oh, that will be of God. And oh, that it's, you know, it's not you. It's not of you. It's just something that's in you. It's working. It's stirring. And whoa, you are able to experience the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, that is the Spirit of the Lord. He is working within you. Oh, I don't know about you, but I think some of you need a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. You need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You need to fill up on the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Spirit of God. That is the glory of God. In the upper room, they waited for the glory of God. And the Spirit of God came in, and he breathed upon them. And the wind blew, and the people received something. Hallelujah. Have you received something today? I pray that you have received something of God. There is no one who experiences God's glory without having received something from him. We receive of himself. We receive God himself. It's not an imitation. It's not just going through the motions. It's not a learned experience. It is a divine experience in God. The anointing of God that works within us, the very essence of who he is, that imparts eternal life to us. We come alive. We come alive in God. Hallelujah. Oh, we come alive. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pinched nerve, gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is able. He is able and he is willing because of his glory. His glory. He is looking for us to experience it. God wants to give it to us. He wants to impart himself to us. He wants us to walk with him. I just want to be right. Lord, can I be next to you? Lord, I just want to be close to you. Oh, God, make provision. God, he is able and he will. He will and he can. All you have to do is walk in a correlation to his word. Walk in his ways. Follow him. Abide in him. And he will make a way for you. In 1 Peter 1:21, he says, who through him are believers in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You see, without the glory, there is no faith and there is no hope. We need the glory. God gives his glory. It is his glory that makes up his identity. It is who he is. The glory of the Lord is a picture of God himself. So you can see him, you can touch him, you can feel him. It is the essence of God that enables you to commune. That's why God said, show me. Show me. God said, oh, it's not just something you see, but it's a total experience that consumes you. And so we see Moses experiencing a picture of baptism. It's a picture of the baptism of the Spirit of God. And you see, God says, stand on the cleft of the rock. I'm going to pass by. And then I'm going to draw you in. And I'm going to put my hand over you. He covers us. You see, that's like when you go down in the water and the water covers over you and then you come back up, right? That's baptism. And this is a spirit. This is the Spirit of God. And he's baptizing Moses. He's consuming him with his presence, with himself. And that is what you and I need. We need to be consumed by God. We say, God, just eat me up. Hallelujah. Oh, God, eat me up, Lord. Eat me up. Take me in. Oh, hallelujah. It's a picture of Jonah in the belly of the fish. You know, I want to be in the belly of God. Oh, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Consume me. Wrap me up, Lord. Spin me all around. Be all around me, underneath me, over me. God, I surrender all and all to thee I owe. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you understand that without the glory of the Lord, you have no faith and you have no hope. They all come together in God. It is a picture of who he is. It is the glory of God. Our hope is in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Hallelujah. Give me the next slide. And so Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be what? Filled up to all the fullness of God. You and I, we need to be filled up with the fullness of God. We need to pray, God, show me your glory. That's like saying, Lord, fill me up. Oh, God, fill me up with the fullness of God. I need to be able to experience all that you are, all that you are, all that God is. We want him to consume us. He says to know the love of Christ, it surpasses knowledge. In other words, I just don't even understand this. I don't understand it. There is no figuring it out. I don't understand how it works. All I know is God is real, and he is able to fill you up. He can fill you up to all the fullness of God. You can be overtaken, overwhelmed by God. You can be filled in the Spirit of God, where the glory of the Lord is working. The doxa of God, hallelujah, is at work in the midst of your life. This is what God is doing for all of us, hallelujah. And so Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all attain the unity of the faith, hallelujah, the unity of the faith. If everybody is in the glory of God, operating in his presence, you will have unity. Because we're all seeing the same thing. We're all experiencing the same thing. We're all covered. We're all abiding. And we're all just, I'm not worried about looking at what you got going on. I'm consumed with my own experience in the midst of his glory. Hallelujah. I'm just glad you're there. Yes, hallelujah. I see you. I see you. Hallelujah. This is all glory to God. Oh, I can't focus on what you're doing over there. I know what I'm doing. I'm just, whoo, glory. Hallelujah. I'm having my encounter with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we have to learn how to focus on the presence of God in our own lives. And once you step outside of the glory, God only knows what's waiting for you. Who knows what's out there? There are all kinds of spirits that are just waiting for you to get in the flesh. And once you get in the flesh, you will find yourself having all kinds of difficulties and challenges that you otherwise would not have. And when you step into his presence, it will dispel the darkness. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says that God is a shelter. The righteous run into him and they are safe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to be going in and out of his presence, in and out of his glory. It's just the natural thing. But you got to know better that when the challenges of life come, you got to say, oh, Lord, how'd I get out here? Let me run into his glory. I want to get into the presence of God, in the Spirit of God. And sometimes we deal with heavy challenges and we have to just get in to the glory. We just need the kabod of God. I need to step into the kabod. Hallelujah. So that I can experience the doxa. I step into the kabod so I can experience the doxa. And God is able to fill me up. He's able to establish himself in the midst of our lives, to bring us into a place of unity and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see, Jesus is a picture of all of the glory of God at work. Everything that he did, everything that he is a picture of God in his fullness operating in human flesh. He represents the doxa of God in the midst of the human body, the human flesh. And this is what God is trying to work in us, trying to help us to experience. In verse 8, he says, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Do you see that? So this is, has nothing to do with whether or not you go to church or don't go to church, whether you believe or you don't believe. It has everything to do with whether or not you are obedient to the things of God, to the word of God. Those who are selfishly ambitious, where it's not God's will, it's my will be done. It's how I feel. It's what I think. And there are many people in the world who operate this way. Many people in churches who operate this way. Everything is fine as long as it makes them feel good, or it's according to their way or their will or their idea. And if it's somebody else's idea or somebody else's plan, oh no, I'm not interested. I'm too busy. Oh, I don't want to. I'm not able to do it. But when you're in the presence of God, when you're yielded to God, you can obey him. You can hear his voice and follow him. Your flesh does not have command of you, even though it may cry out to you. It is not the authority in which you operate under, because you are operating under the doxa of God, the glory of God. And so we're able to obey righteousness instead of unrighteousness. And therefore we reap all the goodness of God instead of the wrath of God and indignation. This is what happens when you don't apply these principles in your life. And so in John 14:9, Jesus says to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Saints of God, when people see you, they ought to see the Father. You ought to be walking and abiding and fellowshipping and working and communing with God in a way that people would be able to recognize that you are a child of God. They ought to see the Father. Even as Jesus represented the fullness of God, he was able to demonstrate to everyone that he and the Father really are one. Hallelujah. I pray that you are experiencing the kabod of God, and that you are able to praise him and walk in his honor and experience his provision and his brilliant splendor. And at the same time, you are able to come to a place of revelation where you are able to experience God. You're able to see and understand. You're able to recognize that God is good and that he is working, and the opportunities are there for us so that we would be able to experience the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for the glory of the Lord, that you are at work in the midst of us, and that you are stirring. Hallelujah. There is a stirring of the Spirit of God, and that as a result, we are able to reflect his image, the image of God's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's sing this song. Come on. Hallelujah.
Don't say so.
Well, thank you, God. when you've experienced the glory of the Lord in your life, you can't keep quiet. You can't hold it back. And you're forced to just stir it up. And you're going to want to testify. You're going to want to share. You're going to want to help other people come to Christ and come to know Him and depart of their sins. And when God transformed your life, you want to walk with Him. You want God to be close to you. You're saying, Lord God, I just want to experience all that you are. Wrap me up, oh God. Consume me in your goodness. Wrap me up, oh God, with your hand over me and keep me and sustain me. Enable me to see and hear and know the provision of God, that the glory of the Lord would prevail and that the hand of God would be evident in everything that I do, so that souls can be saved, hearts and minds can be renewed and revived, and that the Spirit of God can be imparted to everyone who I encounter. And I pray that, God, you would be glorified in Jesus' name. I pray this is your prayer today. I pray that this is the desire of your heart. Well, join me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would be lifted up and exalted among us. We rebuke the devourer and every hindering spirit as we abide in the kabod of God, as we step into your presence, as we allow you to draw us in and mold us and shape us and make us more and more like Jesus, that we would experience and come to a place of doxa in God, that we would have a revelation of understanding and perceptions, that we would be able to have an experience that cannot be shaken, cannot be taken, but that we would know the reality of the kingdom of God and his authority and his power in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Let the Lord say so.
Hey.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so.